I'm a little weird.
For example, I do my vocal warm-ups like this. And that is the first track in my new album. Dangerous sings you to sleep. I hope you all support it. If you don't, you hate puppies, bunnies, love, and you love Adolf Hitler, so don't be that guy. Hey, everybody. What's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR, and we're back for another Drunken Dangerous 420 Fairy Tales. Aren't you happy to be here? I hope you are. And if you're listening to this, I may or may not have gotten coronavirus from my fucking roommate who went on vacation and visited an amusement park during a pandemic and then came home with a fever. Yeah, that's So anyway, hopefully if you're listening to this, quarantining that bitch successfully worked and she hasn't given me the Rona. If she has, and I die from it, I hope that you all start a GoFundMe to get a bunch of baths to go kick her ass down. Just beat her ass. Joking, but seriously, fucking. It's gonna get me in. They're gonna be like, oh, I'm gonna be a tragic statistic, you know? Like, the person who visited the amusement park is gonna be fine, but you? Fucking roommate of that crazy bitch? No, you're going down. You wore your mask. You fucking distanced. It's too late. Too late. You don't go to the amusement park. The amusement park comes to you. Man, 2020, am I right? Fucking 2020. And with that in mind, let's continue reading these fantastic fairy tales, shall we? Now we're going to leave off with another of the sub-stories in the story about my roommate titled The Simpleton. That's definitely who this is about. If you're listening, bitch, yes, this is about you. Don't go to a fucking amusement park during a pandemic. It better not be Corona, or I swear to God. I swear to God. Ha! I'm going to be very displeased. I'm not going to do anything, but I will be very unhappy. You better do the dishes for a long time. All of it. Anyway. Health aside, let's start where we left off with this rendition of The Simpleton's The Golden Goose. Once upon a time, there was a man who had three sons. However, the youngest was a simpleton. I mean, okay, so what does it take to be considered simpleton? Like, if we're talking on a level of intellectual disability, how simple is simpleton? Because from what I can see, he seems able to, like, bathe himself and, like, take care of himself, solve complex issues fairly well. I mean, everyone's saying he's a simpleton, but I haven't seen any livestock lose their eyes yet, which is what I have come to assume means a simpleton in Grimm society was just some maniac who rips the livestock's eyes out and goes, oh, cool, I did a good job, right? Like, that, if that's simpleton, fine. This guy seems totally normal. I mean, I have yet to see a simple act. So calling him a simpleton, what does that mean? Average intellect? How can I even decide, you know? When do they decide he's a simpleton? Is it like he comes out and they're just like, oh, this one's a simpleton. You can tell by his hair pattern, you know? I mean, when the fuck this was written, that could have been what it is. I mean, they could have just decided randomly, you know? Maybe he was a late speaker. They probably would have decided you're a simpleton then. They branded anything a simpleton because they didn't understand shit, you know? I mean, you don't understand, like, how the fucking universe works. And, you know, you don't understand what the hell the sun is. And you think that, you know, worms appear on rotting meat because reasons. You know, and you think that, you know, vampires are real. What the fuck ever you believe back then. You'll believe anything, right? Right? So, okay, if you think about it, like, I used to read they would have like stories, like nonfiction accounts of what would happen back in like the 1950s and stuff, when the mental health care system was like surprisingly even worse than it is now. And they would talk about what happened in the asylums and institutions and what it would take to get institutionalized and how often people would be institutionalized that were not at all insane, but would have properties that society didn't approve of. Like an alcoholic could be put in a mental institution just for being an alcoholic, which I always found kind of strange. Or just being depressed, not suicidal, just depressed in general. And until you're happy again, you don't get to leave. Like, what the fuck? I don't know about you, but I have depression. And you suffer from that shit for a long time. I can't imagine being institutionalized would make it better. Could be wrong. That's just my opinion. So, simpleton, take it with a grain of salt. You know, simpleton could mean he could be ripping eyes out. He could be about to do heart surgery. You know, I don't know what simpleton means anymore. I'm confused. I'm as confused as you. There's very little violence here. I don't know what to think. My whole world is coming down. And I'm high as fuck. And it makes me want to look into the universe and say, what is a simpleton? Are we all deep down not simpletons? I should have started the story a long time ago. This is like the longest aside ever. My apologies. Let's continue with the story about the supposed simpleton. So the youngest kid's a simpleton. Apparently the youngest is always the simplest, which isn't fair. Like, you know, come on. One day, the eldest son said, "Father, I want to go into the forest and chop wood."
"Let it be,"
the father said.
"Otherwise, you'll come home with a bandaged arm."
What the fuck does that mean? If he goes to chop wood, his arm's gonna get fucked up? So are you, like, telling him he's just a bumbling idiot? Like, bandaged how? Bandaged like, "I got a splinter, daddy, oopsie-doo." Or like, "I chopped my arm in two, daddy, oopsie-fucking-do." Like, what's the difference? There's a big difference. Bandaged how? Band-aid or like, you know, the ER had to come and like try to hold you together because you axed yourself in the arm. And that's like the eldest son. He's not the stupid one. So what gives? Are all his sons just stupid and the youngest is the dumbest of all? But the son didn't pay attention to his father. Of course he didn't. And thought he knew how to take care of himself. He put some cake in his pocket. That's weird. I hope it didn't have frosting. And went into the forest where he met a little old gray man who said,
"I'm so hungry. Give me a piece of cake that you have in your pocket."
How the fuck did he know? And what the hell? I mean, if I've learned anything, little anything in the fucking forest asking me for a favor, just do it. Just do it. If you don't, you're going to be cursed. That's what happens. Do what they say or you're cursed. Do what they want and you're going to be given like some insane reward that's in no way appropriate for the thing you did. Like, if I meet somebody in the forest and they're like, "Dude, can I have a granola bar? I'm starving." And I have one granola bar, I'd be like, "Yeah, okay, sure, you can have it." And they're like, "You get a palace made of gold forever." Like, that doesn't seem like that's way not appropriate for what I did. What the fuck, you know? I don't deserve this. Like a thanks is enough. What the hell? They're always giving them these massive rewards. Or conversely, you're like, "No, I'm sorry, I really need this granola bar. Like, I get low blood sugar and I pass out sometimes." And he's like, "So you're cursed for eternity." You're like, "What the fuck? No, what? My blood sugar." And then you're just turned into stone for eternity because you cared about your blood sugar. Fuck you. Like, wah. These aren't appropriate. These aren't appropriate lessons. I'm sorry. It's like, you know what these are? These are Old Testament God-style punishments. That's what these are. Where God just fucks with you for like no reason other than he's a dick and he can. That's what this is. It's the Old Testament style. So basically, just do what people tell you. Like, don't ever doubt people, apparently, is mostly the story I'm getting. So kind of like a lot of religion. Okay, anyway. Let's continue.
I'm so hungry. Give me that cake in your pocket.
If you're hungry enough to want food, like a piece of cake that's been in my sweaty pocket, you can have it. You need it more than me. The fact that you suddenly have x-ray vision to see that cake in my pocket is weird as fuck. His pants must be really goddamn tight. I'm picturing, like, you can see just the whole kit and caboodle just, like, taped down to his thigh. Like, man, do you want to have kids someday? You gotta, like, loosen those fucking jeggings up, my dude. But anyway, the old man can see this cake in his pocket, which is weird. However, the clever son responded, "Why should I give you a piece of my cake? Then I'll have nothing for myself. Get out of here!" I mean, you could, like, give him some of it. Whatever, okay. The son went off with his axe and began to chop down a tree. It didn't take long, however, for him to make a slip with the axe, and he cut himself in the arm. Man, you know, I feel like I would almost just not tell my dad and just pretend I didn't have a horribly wounded arm just so I didn't have to hear him say "I told you so" for, like, the rest of existence. Tell me you don't know this feeling. Tell me you wouldn't, like, fucking suck it up and be like, "Nope, it was great." And he just pats you on the arm. You're like, "Yep, it's such a good time." Just, like, not admitting it. I would. I wish I could just suck it up and be like, "Yeah, you were right." No, I wouldn't. I would die with it. I would just, like, I lose the arm before I'd admit it. I have this, like, gangrenous arm hanging off. He's like, "Hey, are you, like, okay, just you drop the act. Like, you clearly hurt yourself." I'm like, "Nope. My arm is always his color. I like it like this. It's gonna kill you. No, shut the fuck up. It's fine. I like it." Yeah, it's a problem. The son, yep, he cut himself because the dad was right. Of course he was. The son was not that clever. So we had to go home and have his arm bandaged. Why didn't he just bring the bandages himself? This was all because of the little old gray man. Why? Sounds like a fucking scapegoat to me, my guy. He didn't do shit. It's because the little old gray man that you cut yourself, likely fucking story. Likely goddamn story. What the hell? Fucking lay it on the last guy you met because he asked you for food. Oh, it's not my fault it was late to work, sir. Like, I saw a homeless man the other day and I got, like, super distracted. What the fuck? That's not an excuse. That's a terrible, terrible excuse. Come on, get out of here with that bullshit. I mean, I don't doubt he was behind it, but there's no evidence at this point. So it just sounds like some bullshit. I mean, of course he was, because it's Grimm, and the little old gray man is kept repeating as some kind of, like, mythical creature, whatever, so it's clearly him, but still, I disagree with the evidence stated. Sometime later, the second son went into the forest, where the little man asked him for a piece of cake, too. He also refused and consequently struck himself in the leg so that he, too, had to be carried back home. Darn that little gray man just distracting them with his sexiness. His desperation for the cake so achingly close to their penises plastered down in those jeggings. Those sweaty leather jeggings. Yeah, they're leather. Bet you didn't know that. They are. Because it was back in the olden times and they didn't have jeans. So really it would just be leggings with two L's, like leather leggings, like not jeggings. I didn't think that through. Maybe it was pleather, but they didn't have pleather, because then it could be pleggings, which is just also horrible. Forget I ever said any of this. Leather jeggings, we'll go with that. That's better. Anyway, we're going to get back to this now, which is not at all related to men in extremely tight leather jeggings. Sweaty, sweaty men. Okay, he also refused and hit himself in the leg because, of course, it was the little gray man's fault, because let's make excuses for ourselves. Yep. He had to be carried back home. What a little bitch. Hobble back home like the little bitch you are. Finally, Simpleton went out into the forest, and the little man spoke to him just as he had to the others and asked for a piece of cake.
"You can have the entire thing,"
said Simpleton, and gave it to him. There, he has to have that voice. That's the only way I believe it. Then the little man spoke.
"Chop this tree down and you'll find something."
Is it his dick?
Just kidding, it's my penis. Look at it, boy.
Goddamn, he was a sexual predator the whole time. Simpleton began hacking away. He's going to hack the whole internet. And when the tree fell, a golden goose was sitting there. My God, that seems totally okay with, like, see, it's just not proportional. It's not proportional. You had a piece of sweaty leg cake, and he gets a fucking golden goose that shits gold. Like, really? I'm sorry. That is suspicious, too. I'd be like, what? I don't deserve this. What's the catch? You're going to, like, slit my throat? Is this some kind of weird ritual? What's going on? I don't believe anything that good is happening just because I was, like, mildly nice one time. And he's only being nice because he's dumb as hell and he doesn't know any better. Like, he's not even being nice because he's actually being nice. He's only being nice because he's stupid. Because they're like, clearly you would never share it if you were actually intelligent. So simpleton's rewarded simply for being stupid. I really don't think that's a good moral. To be like, sometimes the dumbest are the wisest among us because only dumb people would share. Oh, okay, Grim. You really are kind of a piece of shit, aren't you? Yeah, I'm looking at you. Not the person that uses that as their pen name. But you, oh, God damn it. You know what I mean. The person whose story I'm reading right now. Let me continue before I keep talking. He took the bird with him and went to an inn where he wanted to spend the night. He didn't want to stay in the large room. Rather, he wanted a room for himself alone. Once there, he set the goose down in the middle of the room. The innkeeper's daughters had seen the goose and were curious and would have liked to have had a feather from the goose. Then the eldest daughter said, "I'll go upstairs, and if I don't return soon, then come after me." Upon saying this, she went to the goose, but no sooner did she touch the feather than she found herself attached to the goose. Now since she didn't come back downstairs, the second sister went to look after her, and as soon as she saw the goose, she couldn't resist the desire to pluck a feather. The eldest sister tried the best to warn her not to do this, but nothing helped. Is it magic, or is she just that stupid? I really hope it's magic, because otherwise, that's some powerful stupidity. Powerfuler than magic. Powerfuler, that's a word. Her sister grabbed hold of the goose and was soon attached to the feather. Now, after the third daughter had waited long enough below, she finally went upstairs, and her sisters called out to her and warned her, for heaven's sake, not to come near the goose. However, she didn't listen to them, and was set on having one of the feathers and got stuck to it. The next morning, Simpleton took the goose in his arm and went off. What? The three daughters were tightly attached to the goose and had to follow him. He didn't notice this, or they just didn't say anything, or is he a psycho and just kept walking regardless? Is he very strong? I assume they were fighting him, and there's three against one. And is the goose super powerful, so they're not, like, ripping it apart by pulling against each other? I don't understand. They don't have to follow him. They could fight against him. They're probably heavier than him, all three of them together. I don't want to argue against this, but, like, don't follow this guy. You could just... There's three of you. You're good. Like, if you're averagely heavy, he's not 300 pounds, is he? So, like, 100 pounds for each of you. You're all skinny at that point. I don't think Simpleton's 300 pounds. Like, this is back in the day. He's probably not. He's, like, what? Like, 180, maybe? You could totally drag his ass back. Come on. Whatever. They just gave up quick. So, you know. Because they're women. They're not actually people. But back in the day, not, like, now. Come on. Anyway, they had to follow him. When they came to a field, they met the parson, who cried out at them, "Fooey, naughty girls, what are you doing running after this young fellow in public, no less? Shame on you!" What the hell does that even mean? Like, he thinks they're so hungry for the D that they're, like, running after him? Why the fuck is that even his opinion? Why does he think that? What would ever in the fucking world? They could not be running after him like they're normal. Like, they're all their arms would be outstretched attached to this goose. It would be obvious they weren't just running and all touching this goose at the same time, wouldn't it? I mean, you expect me to believe that Simpleton was also, I guess, like, running, and they were running too, And they all didn't look like they were, like, stumbling. None of them tripped. They were all running with their arms outstretched at the goose. And the parson was like, yep, they're clearly hungry for his dick. And that's where they're all touching this goose in his hand. And they all look happy and horny and not, like, desperately trying to get away. Why am I trying to make sense of this? I'm just going to make myself crazier. Ignore. Not that I'm crazy. Do not take that as a confession. Let me continue. Anyway, apparently the parson's like, stop trying to grab his dick, ladies. That's inappropriate. And they're just like, oh my God, you're so stupid. Apparently the parson was Simpleton's actual biological father. Upon saying this, he grabbed one of the girls by the hand and tried to yank her away. However, as soon as he touched her, he became stuck to her and now had to run along behind them. None of them are thinking to stop Simpleton or... No, they're just... It's kind of stupid. But okay. They just... I mean, I feel like, hey, we're... You and me right here, we already solved this. Like, just stop. Stop running. Like, ta-da! But I guess then this story wouldn't work, so... I wonder where he grabbed her that he got attached. He's like, oh, sorry, I really didn't mean to grab your boob. I'm stuck to it. Oh, it's terrible. Anyway, shortly after this happened, the sexton came and cried out, hey, parson, where are you off to in such a hurry? Yeah, they're gonna have a sex ton, that's right. The sexton. We still have a christening today. The sexton ran up to him, grabbed him by the arm, and became attached. As the five of them marched one after the other after Simpleton, two farmers with their hoes came from the field. They brought their hoes with them. Oh my God, they brought their hoes from the field. God damn, dirty hoes. I bet those hoes were some dirty, dirty bitches. The parson called them over to help detach themselves, but no sooner did they touch the sexton than they got stuck, and so now there were seven who ran after Simpleton with the goose. And hopefully they brought their hoes. Don't just leave them in the field. Come on. Those hoes need you. Soon he came to a city ruled by a king who had a daughter so serious that nobody could get her to laugh. Consequently, the king issued a decree declaring that whoever made the princess laugh would have her for his bride. That's fucking weird. When Simpleton heard this, he went to the king's daughter and took along the goose with a group of people attached to the bird. As soon as the princess saw this parade, she began to laugh boisterously and couldn't stop. Well, that's what her laugh sounds like. Therefore, Simpleton demanded to have her for his bride. But the king made all kinds of excuses. He must be ugly. Like, let's be honest, he's gotta be pretty ugly. Anyway, king made all kinds of excuses. He needs to bring out the ring and be like, but how high can you jump? And said Simpleton would first have to bring him a man who could drink up all the wine in a cellar. So, like, bring me an alcoholic. So Simpleton went into the forest to the spot where he had chopped down the tree. And he saw a man sitting there with a sad face. So Simpleton asked him what had caused him to have such a heavy heart. 2020, obviously. He knew. He had premonitions. Oh, I'm so thirsty I can't get enough to drink. I've already emptied a barrel of wine, but that's only like a drop on a hot stone.
Well, I can help you,
Simpleton said.
Come with me, I'll give you alcohol poisoning. You'll be able to drink until you are full.
That's, you're gonna kill him. Good job, Simpleton, you murdered a man. Congratulations. I'm sorry, I had to take a drink to this man's inevitable demise. Even if he can drink a barrel of wine, assuming he must be huge, like really big, because there's only so much a body can actually consume. No matter how big a human you are, your stomach and your bladder have a capacity, not only to mention the fact that your kidneys also have a capacity at which they empty wine. Maybe he drinks a lot of, like, vodka, like, or like pure alcohol, so then wine would empty slowly enough because the alcohol content would be low enough that he wouldn't be able to get blood alcohol poisoning because it would digest slowly enough because of the volume of liquid required, basically. So I could see in that instance being unable to kill yourself with alcohol poisoning if you were a severe alcoholic. But I don't know if that's true. It's just a theory because this is all bullshit and clearly it's not going to kill him. And nobody could drink that much wine in one sitting anyway because it's beyond human capability. But let's see how Simpleton will not kill this man but should have killed this man with alcohol poisoning because, oh my God, that's the worst lesson ever to teach a person ever, that if you see someone who's sad and an alcoholic, cheer them up with all the alcohol they can drink. That's not a good lesson. That shouldn't be rewarded. That's not a good lesson. The end. But let's continue, and he'll be rewarded for this horrible action, which should have caused this man's death. But Simpleton led him to the king's cellar, and the man set to work on the large barrels. He drank and drank until his lips began to hurt him, and before the day was over, he had drunk up everything in the cellar. Impossible? Impossible. It's impossible. But he apparently managed to, like, bruise his tender alcoholic lips, drinking literally an entire castle's worth of wine in one evening, which he should be dead. He's clearly not human. Simpleton is clearly some kind of magic creature. But whatever. None of this matters. It's clearly all bullshit. I need to stop trying to make sense of this in the real world. This isn't the real world. This is Grimm's bullshit logic world where anything is whatever he wants it to be, because why should I give a shit about being a good writer and things making logical sense? I'm just going to make whatever happen I say happens, and I'll bring in cannibals for nowhere, but will mean nothing about anything and will really concern you for no reason. And then I'll make a happy story where a dog's like immediately crushed horribly and then like ripped apart and eaten and shit. And you'll be like, what the fuck? It's horrible. Let's continue. Now Simpleton demanded his bride. But the king was annoyed that a common fellow whom everyone called Simpleton should carry off his daughter. I mean, I can't really blame the guy. I feel like he's being a good dad by saying, like, no. Like, literally everyone calls you Simpleton. Like, not only are you a commoner, you're not like, you know, good-looking Joe over there. You're like Simpleton, the town moron. I'm sorry, I'm a king. Like, I know I said this was going to happen. I wanted someone who was funny, like they laugh with them, not at them. I didn't want my daughter to marry the funniest retard in the kingdom, like. Which would be inappropriate. The king's an asshole, and that's why I use that terminology. Come on, that's not appropriate. It's all in good fun. So the king was being a good dad and was like, oh, new condition. Simpleton had to produce a man who could eat a mountain of bread. Okay, literal mountain? Or, like, are you just being hyperbolic? Are you, like, you actually going to make a mountain? Because I don't believe that you have the capability to make a mountain of bread. Even if you wanted that to be true, you would have to get into a bakery that was already established and use their bread and not actually try to produce your own bread, because this is back in the 1800s or what the fuck ever. They didn't have that ability. So there's no way these fucking peasant people with their old ass technology could have made a mountain of bread in that amount of time. What is it, like 2 loaves? I'm sorry. You're clear with the whole 1,000 times more beautiful bullshit. A mountain of bread. You don't have a mountain, bitch. Although, apparently everything's magical, so I guess if they genie up, like, you know what? It's probably all of the people in the kingdom have magical powers we just didn't know about, and they'll just appear, you know? Like, suddenly, oh, by the way, the king also had magical powers, and he transformed a mountain into bread, and it's like, okay, I would just believe it. Like, at this point, anything goes. You'd believe it, too. I could make that shit up right now. It sounds believable. That's how low our standards are. Anything could happen. Okay, weird. All right, we'll roll with it. A mountain of bread. Honestly, every time I go to a restaurant, I tell myself, you know, don't fill up, but then I eat a mountain of bread. Like, that's such a relatable feeling. You're like, oh my God, I can't go. The pasta here is to die for. And you're like, oh my God, they have hot bread. Oh my god, it comes with honey butter. Oh my god, it's so good. Oh my god, and there's wine, and now I'm slightly tipsy, and the bread tastes even better. Oh my god. Oh, they brought more bread, and the next thing you know, you've had half a loaf of bread and like 3 glasses of wine, and you're not even hungry for the food you came for originally. And then you do it all over again because it's still really fun. 2 meals in one. They say don't fill up on the bread. I say that's an extra free meal of bread. No, it's not healthy for me, but it's good for my soul. So Simpleton returned to the forest, and there was a man sitting at the spot of the tree that he had cut down, and this man was tightening a belt around his waist and making an awful face. That reminds me of Trolls 2, where the dad's like, no, I have to tighten my belt so we don't feel hunger pangs. Like, that's the best. If you haven't seen that movie, do yourself a goddamn favor. Like, that movie is so hilariously bad. It's just, it always puts a smile on my face. Like, if I do get corona, that is the one movie I will watch on fucking repeat. Like, on my deathbed, that's the shit I'm going to be watching. Because I will die with a fucking smile on my face. I'll be able to breathe. Last words on my lips would be like, you don't piss on hospitality. I don't allow it. That'll be it. Last words. I swear to God. Okay. Oh yeah, mountain of bread. So he just conveniently found a super hungry guy who wasn't full of shit and apparently could eat a mountain of bread because you know it's what he's going to say. Anyway, the guy was tightening his belt. I've never done that when I'm hungry. Like, that feels so dramatic. That's just dramatic. Like, you don't need to tighten your belt. Come on. You didn't instantly lose weight. You're not doing anything. You're just being melodramatic. That's like something I would have done when I was 13 and like dinner was late. I would have like tightened my belt and like sighed really loudly because, you know, teenagers like that are awful. I was definitely awful. You're probably amazing, but I was just trash. Just still like I am today, kind of, you know, like younger trash. Anyway, it's, you know, I don't really think I'm trash. That's why it's funny. Don't feel bad for me. Just laugh at me together like I'm a simpleton. Okay, anyway, so he found a man tightening his belt.
I've eaten an oven full of coarse bread. But what good is that when I'm still enormously hungry? I don't feel a thing in my body and must tighten my belt if I'm not to die of hunger.
That's not how that works. If you're actually starving, tightening your belt will do nothing. And he seems like he might have Prader-Willi syndrome. He should see a doctor so as not to kill himself by eating too much. But of course, he'll be able to eat a mountain of bread and not die, which he should have. Like, he should have... You know what would be a real twist? You know that movie Seven? And the scene with Gluttony where that guy eats a bunch of spaghetti and then, like, the killer kicks him in the stomach? Like, if this guy eats all the bread and then Simpleton, being the dumbass, like, runs up and, like, kicks him and just, like, explodes his stomach. And Simpleton will be like, hoop-de-doo-be-doo. Then I'd be like, you know what? Well played. But it won't. It'll just be stupid. And so here we go. Okay, so he was... As soon as Simpleton heard this, he was cheerful and said,
get up and come with me. You'll eat until you're full.
Simpleton led the man to the king, who had all the flour of the entire kingdom gathered and baked into an enormous mountain. Can your ovens handle a mountain-sized piece of bread? I don't think they can. I think that's some bullshit. But the man from the forest took a place in front of it, and he caused the entire mountain to vanish in a day and a night. Once again, Simpleton asked for his bride, but the king sought a way out again and demanded a ship that could sail on water and on land. If he produced this ship, then he could have the princess right away. So Simpleton went into the forest once more and met the little gray man to whom he had given his cake.
I've drunken and eaten for you, the little man said, and now I'll give you the ship. I'm giving you all this because you were so kind and took pity on me.
Yeah, that's not appropriate. That's a completely over-the-top reward for a basic act of charity. But cool, I'll take the bajillion dollars for being a decent human being. Thanks. So he gave Simpleton the ship that sailed on land and on water, and when the king saw this, he could no longer prevent him from marrying his daughter. Then the wedding was celebrated, and Simpleton inherited the realm and lived a long time happily with his wife. You know, the only time I'm kind of okay with Simpleton marrying her is because, like, the bride was into it at first. She demanded, like, I marry Simpleton, because apparently she totally was into him. Her apparently had a really big dick. And, she was all about the D. But, you know, she wanted to marry him, so happily ever after. All's well that ends well. Share your cake with a stranger who's checking out your package and your jeggings, and you too can get a magical ship and a goose made of gold that trapped people to their feathers until apparently they died or just lived there with the goose. I don't know. They never explained it or ever showed that they just got detached. So I don't know what happened to them. Apparently they all live together. It's some hilarious sitcom. The sexton, the parson, the girls, the goose. And the two farmers. That's porno coming up. Coming to Pornhub Premium. They brought their hoes. The farmers were the hoes all along. Okay. Mm-mm. Now this one, this story, the title itself makes me think of Demi Moore's spread in Playboy back in the day. It's called All Fur. If you know, you fucking know. All fur, baby. Hey, wasn't in the time. But I gotta say, that's impressive. That was the most impressive bush I've ever seen. Like, my God. Like, honestly, fucking snaps for that bush. That bush is like a fucking mood. And that mood is big. Big. Like a fucking head of a baby black bear. That shit's big. Glorious bush. Beautiful. She could fucking braid it or whatever. It was impressive. I don't think I've ever had that much hair on my head, let alone my pubes. Good, well done, Demi. Very well done. Okay, all fur. Once upon a time, there was a king who had the most beautiful wife in the world. According to whom? And her hair was pure gold, literally. I mean, in this, probably literally. They had a daughter together, and she was just as beautiful as her mother, and her hair was just as golden. One day, the queen became sick, and when she felt she was about to die, she called the king to her and made a request. If after her death he wanted to marry again, he should only take someone who was as beautiful as she was and had golden hair like hers. Is he gonna start perving on his daughter? Because legitimately, that's what it sounds like, and it's creepy as fuck. Also, what the fuck? Weird-ass, horrible fucking deathbed request is that? What the fuck, man? If you're on your deathbed and your partner's there and you're like, your final words, it should be like, tell your partner, if you fucking love them and you actually love them and you're not a selfish douche, say like, I love you, I'll miss you. Like, you want them to be happy and move on eventually. If you love someone, that's what you would want. Because you'll be dead. Like, it won't matter what they do. You're dead. So why would your last fucking act on earth to try to restrict their fucking dating pool to somebody's identical to you? That's weird and controlling and manipulative. No, I'm sorry, you're dying, dead bitch. I'll tell you, sure, now. But after you're gone, I'm sorry, you were delirious in your fucking pre-death state. I'm not gonna fucking only be with someone who's your clone. That's weird. If that's someone I fall for, sure, but what the hell? Now you're gonna make this some weird incesty thing, and if it's not, I'm gonna look creepy, but tell me that's not what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. And they were perving on Snow White, who was like 7, so creepy. I really hope it's not what I think. Anyway, he should only take someone who was as beautiful as she was and had golden hair like hers. It just... Why did you have to mention the daughter looked just like her? It was just as pretty. And her hair was the same. Like, bitch, cut your hair and dye it brown. Run away. Run the fucking far away. Once the king promised her that, she died. She was just holding out to manipulate him one more time. Well done. Karen. Was that her name? I bet it was Karen.
She was like, let me speak to your manager.
For a long time, the king was so distressed that didn't think about a second wife. They said no he, but he didn't think about a second wife. For a long time. How is a long time in king's time? Like 6 hours. And he's like, man, I need to get my dick wet. My royal staff. Finally, his counselors urged him to remarry. Some messengers were sent to all the princes in the world, but none of them were as beautiful as the dead queen. Nor could they find such golden hair anywhere in the world. We all know where this is going. I wish I didn't. But we do. How old is she at this point? Like, I hope she's at least 16. But knowing Grimm, she's probably the ripe age of 11, which is practically elderly compared to Snow White. This is so creepy. Oh God, why? Where's Chris Hansen when you need him? Now, one day, the king cast his eyes on his daughter. And when he saw that her features were very similar to those of her mother, and that she also had such golden hair, he thought,
since you won't find anyone as beautiful in the world, you must marry your daughter.
That's what his fucking inner voice must sound like, because bleh. And right then he felt such a great love for her. That's not love, buddy. That's not love. That is not love. Nope. Fucking rewind that shit. Take that thought, throw it straight in the trash, and then throw yourself with it, because what the fuck? No. Oh my God. That poor kid is so fucked genetically. Like, her mom's that crazy manipulative bitch, and her dad's a crazy pedo who's gonna rape her. Like, that poor girl. That poor, poor girl. Anyway, he felt great love, wink, wink, for her that he immediately informed his counselors and the prince. Oh, at least he informed her. I feel like that's not going to be a good decision when it comes to her being okay with this plan. Just informed her. Like, could you imagine? Not like, hey, what do you think? It's just, oh, by the way, I know he's your dad your whole life, but now I'm going to be your husband. No. Oh, also, I'm the one who makes the rules, so it's okay. Could you imagine the hopelessness of that situation? Like, fling myself from the tower. Legitimately. Where's the arsenic, please? I can't even... My own dad? No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I would rather literally just jump off the fucking tower of the castle than that with my parent. I mean, really. Run myself through with the sword. No, thank you. Fucking find the knight and have him do like a mercy kill. I just could not. Okay, let's continue this abomination. Anyway, the counselors wanted to talk him out of it at least. That's better than I expected. But it was in vain. The princess was totally horrified. Rightfully fucking so, about his godless intention. However, since she was smart, she told the king that he first had to provide her with 3 dresses. One as golden as the sun, one as white as the moon, and one as bright as the stars, and then a cloak made of 1,000 kinds of pelts and furs, and each animal in the kingdom had to contribute a piece of its skin to it. You know, if I didn't know if you were allowed to put such conditions on things, like, at that point, you can kind of just skip it for the rest of your life, right? Like, just make it so insane that it's impossible to do. And then you never have to be forcibly married and raped by your creepy-ass, creepy dad. I hope I actually hope this guy suffers a Grimm's fate, because that's fucking awful. The king had such a passionate desire for her, his own daughter. I can't imagine why this wasn't made into a Disney movie. that everyone in his realm was ordered to work. His huntsmen had to catch all the animals and take a piece of their skin. Oh, that's so cruel. Thus, a cloak was made from their fur. I feel like if any piece of clothing would ever be haunted by an animal spirit, it would be that. Like, not one animal, because none of them died, but they would just collectively come together like a Power Ranger to form some kind of hyper angry animal sub-ghost thing. Because what the fuck? A piece of my skin? No goddamn thank you. I don't remember offering a piece of my fucking skin. I don't care if I survive. Give me my fucking skin back, asshole. And fucking wake up in the middle of the night with me crouching over you, ripping your skin off. Like, I'm taking yours. I wouldn't really, though. It's just, like, hypothetically. Because that's pretty fucked. This guy's really fucked. Oh my god. It's very disturbing. Like, another psychologically fucking disturbing story. And it's not even over. Ugh, I don't like it. Anyway, it didn't take long before the king brought the princess what she demanded. Now the princess said she would marry him the next day. However, during the night, she collected the gifts that she had received from her fiancé from another kingdom. Oh, she had a fiancé from another kingdom. Mm-mm. A golden ring, a little golden spinning wheel, and a little golden reel. And the three dresses, all of which she put into a nutshell. Huh? What? What? What nutshell? Is she tiny? Did I miss something? Are these teeny tiny little people? What? The fuh? Okay. Okay, she's tiny. They're all tiny people, apparently. Living in tiny, tiny land where nutshells are used for storage. Then she blackened her face and hands with soot, put the cloak made of all kinds of fur and departed. She walked the whole night. I feel like that's an easy way to kind of spot you, though, because, like, you're the only one with that cloak. Like, get a normal one. She walked the whole night until she reached a great forest where she was safe. Since she was tired, she climbed into a hollow tree and fell asleep. She continued to sleep until it became broad daylight. As it so happened, the king, her bridegroom, was out hunting in the forest. When his dogs came to the tree... Oh, apparently, it says, evidently the princess had never met her fiancé, bridegroom. So, the other king in this other forest was out, and that was the guy who apparently she was betrothed to... But, like, they'd never met each other because apparently it was, like, online dating and, like, his webcam was seriously broken. So, like, he totally couldn't. But he totally would have if he could have. But, like, also, like, his phone isn't working. And then you're like, okay, this is fucking catfish. Not again. When his dogs came to the tree, they started to sniff and run around it. The king sent his huntsmen to see what kind of animal was hiding in the tree. When they returned to him, they said that there was a strange animal lying in it. Because they were stupid and didn't know what a human looked like wearing a fur coat. And they'd never seen anything like it in their lives, because apparently they still couldn't notice a patched-together coat. They're all the simpletons. Its skin was made up of 1,000 different kinds of fur, and it was lying there asleep. Then the king ordered them to catch it and tie it on the back of the wagon. The huntsmen did this, and as they pulled it from the tree, they saw it was a maiden. And they tied her on the back of the wagon and drove home with her. All fur, they said. They fucking named her All Fur. Okay, I'm a human being, but fine, I get it. We're all property now. You'll do well to work in the kitchen, what with that vagina of yours. You can carry wood and water and sweep up all the ashes. Okay, I guess I'm your slave now. The fuck? Did I say you could capture me? Because I'm living in a tree, does that mean I'm a bird and you can keep me as your property? This is kidnapping, sir. I was happy living in soot with my freaking weird-ass coat. I'll do to you what I did to these 1,000 animals. What the hell is this shit? This is abusive. I don't like it. This poor girl, her whole fucking life. Like, her mom dies. Her dad wants to fucking force her into marriage and rape. She escapes, and now she's kidnapped by this weirdo who's like, I named you Alfer, which, by the way, did she ever give her name? Because I'd be fucking pissed. Like, oh, hi, my name is Elizabeth, and they're like, Alfer, you mean? Like, no, I said Elizabeth, Alfer! Like, Okay, you're gonna pretend you don't speak English? Okay, you fucking dickbag. Jesus. Then they gave her a little stall beneath the steps.
You can live and sleep there.
I would not. I would leave immediately. Fuck you. So she had to work in the kitchen, did she? There's a door. Leave out the door. Where she helped the cook, plucked the chickens, tended the fire, sorted the vegetables, and did all the dirty work. Since she did everything so diligently, the cook was good to her, and sometimes called all fur to him in the evening. Really? If they're good friends, can you call her by her goddamn name? Is her name really Allfur? That's the only name I've ever heard her given, but it seems like it's probably not her given name. It's a stupid-ass name. All. Space. Fur. It's a dumb-ass name. Allfur. Sometimes called Allfur to him in the evening and gave her some of the leftovers to eat. Wow. Can I have your fish heads, too?
Thanks.
Before the king went to bed, she had to go upstairs and pull off his boots, and as soon as she would pull one off, he would always throw it at her head. What a fucking asshole. That was her fucking bridegroom. Fuck this dickbag. She better not marry him. I bet she will. Gross. So Allfur led a miserable life for a long time. Ah, you beautiful maiden. What shall become of you? At one time, a ball was held on the castle, and Allfur thought, perhaps now I could see my dear bridegroom once again. So she went to the cook and asked him to allow her to go upstairs for a while to see the splendor from the doorway. Go ahead, said the cook, but you can't stay longer than half an hour. You gotta sweep up the ashes tonight. Like every night, I'm assuming. So Allfur took her little oil lamp, went into her little stall, and washed the soot off her so that her beauty came to light again, like flowers in the springtime. So this whole time she just had soot all over her fucking face and no one told her to wash. They just assumed that's what she looked like. Like her face was just covered in soot 24/7. They're like, yep, that's a thing. None of this makes sense. None of this makes sense. None of it. And so they can't see she's pretty because she has soot on her face. That's also stupid. You can tell if somebody's attractive regardless if they have soot on them or not. Her facial features are still visible. She never showered. What the hell? So many questions. So unbelievable. Like, nobody recognized her because she had soot on her face, and then that stupid coat had to not recognize the coat. There's so many questions. Anyway, her beauty came to light again like flowers in the springtime. Then she took off the fur cloak, opened the nut, because they're tiny, remember, and took out the dress that shone like the sun. When she was finally dressed, she went upstairs and everyone made way for her, for their dress was blinding her. They backed away, fear of losing their vision. They believed she was nothing less than a distinguished princess who had just come into the ballroom. The king immediately offered her his hand and led her forth into the dance, and as he was dancing with her, he thought, this unknown princess resembles my dear bride. And the longer he gazed at her, the more she resembled her, so that he was almost certain it was her. When the dance ended, he wanted to ask her. However, as she finished the dance, she curtsied and disappeared before the king could begin to speak. Then he asked the guards, but nobody had seen the princess leave the castle. She had quickly run to her little stall, taken off her dress, blackened her face and hands, and put on the fur cloak once again. Then she went into the kitchen and started to sweep up the ashes. Like, why does she still want this guy when he throws the boot at her head? That's my question. He's an asshole. He's not a good guy. He abuses the help. He's an asshole. Like, they say that you can tell if you're on a date with somebody, how they treat the waiter is kind of how they, kind of a reflection of who they are as a person. Like, I don't want somebody who's an asshole to the waiter because they're kind of fucking an asshole, you know? Like, I don't want an asshole. Not that kind of asshole anyway. Not like, you know, kind of fun asshole. It's okay, but not like, you know, just a complete raging douchebag, which this guy completely is. And she still wants him. Because it's better than her dad, I guess. So, like, I can't really argue that he's better than her dad, but he's still a prick. All right, let's see. Let it be until morning, the cook said.
I want to go upstairs and take a look at the dance. Make a soup for the king, but don't let any hairs fall in. I mean, fair point. Otherwise, we'll get nothing more to eat. Unfair. That's not really. But I mean, like, hairnets? They don't have them back then? All for a cooked a bread soup. What the fuck is a bread soup? What the hell is that? That sounds gross. Cooked a bread soup for the king. And then at the end, she slipped the golden ring that the king had given her as a present into the soup. When the ball came to an end, the king had his bread soup brought to him, and it tasted so good that he was convinced he had never eaten one so good. Wow, what a really complex description. However, when he had finished, he found the ring at the bottom of the bowl. He looked at it carefully. He saw that it was his wedding ring and was puzzled. He couldn't grasp how the ring had come to be there, and so he had the cook summoned, and the cook became angry with Allfur. "You must have certainly let a hair fall into the soup. If that's true, you'll get a beating!" However, when the cook went upstairs, the king asked him who had cooked the soup because it had been better than usual. So the cook had to confess that Allfur had made it, and the king ordered him to send Allfur up to him. When she came, the king said, "Who are you, and what are you doing in my castle? Where did you get the ring that was in that soup?" Then she replied, "I am nothing but a poor child whose mother and father are dead. I am nothing and am good for nothing except for having boots thrown at my head. I also know nothing about the ring." Upon saying that, she ran away. She's so dramatic. Sometime later, there was another ball, and once again, Allfur asked the cook's permission to go upstairs. The cook allowed her, but only for half an hour, and then she was to return and cook the bread soup for the king. That guy has a thing for bread soup. What is it? I need to know. So, Allfur went to her little stall, washed herself clean, took out the dress as silvery as the moon, and cleaner and more sparkling than fallen snow, while they added shit to it now. When she'd appeared upstairs, the dance had already begun. The king offered his hand to her again and danced with her. He no longer doubted that she was his bride, for nobody in the world except her had such golden hair. However, when the dance was over, the princess had already departed once again, and despite all his efforts, the king couldn't find her, and he hadn't even spoken a single word with her. Indeed, she was all fur again, with blackened hands and face. What about her hair? Where's she just cover that in soot, too, and nobody notices she's dirty as fuck? Also, ew, you're touching the food with soot-covered hands. Fucking gross. That's gross. I mean, I hope she wears gloves, but, you know, that's nasty. She stood in the kitchen and cooked the bread soup for the king while the cook went upstairs to watch the dance. When the soup was done, she put the golden spinning wheel into the bowl. How big is a golden spinning wheel? I always thought it was bigger than it fit in the bowl. How small is this spinning wheel? Trinket size Monopoly pieces? The king ate the soup, and it seemed even better this time. When he found the golden spinning wheel at the bottom, he was even more astounded because he had at one time sent it to his bride as a present. This guy needs a vision test. He has very bad vision. If he cannot see, this woman is his bride because she's got a dirty face and hands. Clark Kent Superman kind of situation. The cook was summoned, and then Allfur, but once again she replied that she knew nothing about it and that she was only there to have boots thrown at her head. When the king held a ball for the third time, he hoped his bride would come again, and he wanted to make sure to hold on to her. Allfur asked the cook again to let her go upstairs, but he scolded her and said, "You're a witch. You always put something in the soup and can cook it better than I do." Okay, like, jealous much? However, since she pleaded so passionately and promised to behave herself, he let her go upstairs again for half an hour. So generous. Thereupon, she put on the dress that sparkled as bright as the stars in the night and went upstairs and danced with the king. He thought he had never seen her more beautiful. And as they were dancing, however, he slipped a ring onto her finger and ordered the dance to last for a very long time. Nevertheless, he couldn't hold on to her, nor could he speak a single word to her, for when the dance was over, she mingled with the people so quickly that she vanished before he turned around. Allfur ran to her little stall, and since she had been away longer than half an hour, she undressed quickly. In her hurry, she couldn't blacken herself completely so that a finger remained white. When she went into the kitchen... Wait, was this fucking racist the whole time?
If this was racist the whole time, fuck you. Fuck you so hard. This shit better not be racist. Her finger remained white. Why should that make a fucking difference? Huh? Why should her finger color make a difference if this shit's not racist? Tell me. It must be racist. Fuck you harder, Grim. This is some racist ass shit. Soot. I have so many things I could say about this. I'm so naive for not catching this earlier. What the fuck? Ha. Worst one we've read so far. Ha. Okay. Let's continue. Apparently. If you get dirt on your face and hands, you look like an entirely different person. Wah. But apparently you didn't know she was white the whole time. Ooh. When she went into the kitchen, Cook was already upstairs, and she quickly cooked the bread soup and put the golden reel into it. Just as he found the ring and the golden spinning wheel, the king also found the reel. Now he knew for sure his bride was nearby, for nobody else could have possessed the presents. Alfred was summoned, and nobody else... Oh, and wanted once again to avoid the king and run away. However, as she tried to run off, the king caught sight of the white finger on her hand and held her tight. He found the ring that had slipped onto her finger and tore off her fur cloak. Then her golden hair toppled down, and she was his dearly beloved bride. Now the cook was ritually warded, and the king held the wedding, and they lived happily until their death. So many fucking problems with this. Okay, she wore that cloak the entire goddamn time. The entire time. Not one time did she not wear the cloak. Literally nobody saw her hair. Her hands were covered in soot the whole time she was cooking. He couldn't tell because she was covered in soot that was the same fucking person. I have so many problems with that story. Also, her dad just gets away with being a pedo. Couldn't she escape? What the fuck? And he threw boots at her head and she still married him. What the fuck? Grim, this is a horrible story filled with terrible fucking morals. Jesus, this is the worst one yet. Okay. I need a fucking palate cleansing. I'm gonna go look at pictures of fucking baby puppies or hippos or kittens or some shit to get this absolute trash out of my brain. However, I did enjoy recording it for you because you all have to suffer just like I did. And I hope you enjoyed it and that you come again next week and suffer with me. If I am not dead from corona at that point, it's just a joke. It's a joke. I'm fine. Probably. I'll let you guys know. Anyway, I will hopefully talk to you next week. All right. I'll see you then, guys. Mwah. Bye.